Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Nancy C., and I'm gratefully recovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan today, and I am your host for this morning's meeting. Today is Tuesday, February 4th, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 76, the third paragraph, starting with, "Now we need more action," reading through that one paragraph only. Today's readers are reading the text is Nancy P., page 164, taking us out is Jane S., and our backup reader, in case anyone can't get on, is Katie G. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann A., and our second hour host is Eileen M. Reference numbers yesterday, let me give you those reference numbers. For the 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 22,131. And for the 10 a.m., 22,131. And for the 10 a.m., 22,132. Our preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Michelle J. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Michelle J. from Texas, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps about Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Michelle J., and I'll ask Kathy C. to please read our traditions.
Morning, family. Kathy C. from New York, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Kathy C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 76, the third paragraph, starting with now we need more action, and we're reading through that one paragraph only. And I'll ask Nancy P. to please get us going. Hey, Nance.
Hey, Nancy. Thanks for letting me share. Nancy P. recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any length for victory over alcohol. Nancy, you'll time me, please. So it says to look at steps 8 and 9, but I'm a stickler for details. And I believe that there are 3 wind-ups and 3 pitches. And the wind-ups are 4, 6, and 8, and the pitches are 5, 7, and 9. And right now, we've just completed step 7, and now, of course, as I said when I dialed in, like, now we have to do more work. We never can, like, sit around and just get logy. And, you know, the only thing that I need to remember is that the 8th step tells me that what I learned in 6 and 7, what do I want from whatever it is, you know, what do I want from God for those who believe in God? And the answer would be, and from my fellows, what does Nancy P. want? I want, you know, love and compassion, patience, integrity, kindness, friendliness, gentleness. Those are, incidentally, when I chose my own conception, those are some of the things that I wanted it to be, is those things. And that's what I can give to another. I can act in a way that I believe when it says, you know, we do God's business and we do all this. Like, I'm agnostic. Everybody knows that. But it doesn't mean that I can't act in a way that is my highest self, is the, you know, my highest aspiration. I have to act that way. And these steps, like now, we're past the midway point. We have less in front of us than we do behind us. And, you know, as I do these steps, I'm progressing through these steps, I'm learning how to be those things. That's what I can extend to another person, are the things that I want for myself. I was incapable of doing that before I had a spiritual awakening and before I started this work. And, you know, victory over eating, like victory over alcohol, that was a pipe dream. Like, no way could I imagine that I would not be thinking about food 24/7. My best imagination would be that I would still be thinking about it, but I wouldn't have to act on it. And today, I mean, I do think about food a lot only because I'm, you know, I worry about, do I have enough salad stuff and where are my vegetables and that sort of thing. But that's the same as leaving. I'm leaving my house right after this. I'm driving to Connecticut and I packed my car. I've got my lunch. I've got, you know, so in that sense, I did all that last night. And, you know, so I thought about food in that sense, but I didn't think about, oh, great, I've got a 90-minute drive in front of me. I can stop at the store on the way there and buy a big bag of chips and some candy and, you know, have at it while I'm driving. Like, that never crossed my mind. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be making phone calls for the 90 minutes. That's my general MO when I drive there. So for me, I'm finally turning into the person that I always wanted to be. And what is that? An image, the mirror image of what I decided I want this thing that takes care of me to be. I can do the best I can to act in that way, which I was never, ever, ever, ever capable of doing. And I'm just so, so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Nancy.
Hey, thanks, Nancy, for getting us started. And I'm going to take a list of names for people who want to share on this paragraph. And before I do, just a gentle reminder that although we value your opinions and love to hear from you, there are a lot of people on this line. So we ask if you have shared in the last 2 days, which would be Friday or Monday, that you step back and let others share with us today. So who would like to share on this topic?
Lisa Joe B in Colorado.
Janet B.
Lisa. All right, I got Lisa in Colorado. Janet B.
Lee H.
Lee H.
Laurel B.
Laurel B. Take a couple more.
Tony B.
Moni B.
Colleen M.
Colleen M. All right, let's start with this list. I've got Lisa from Colorado, and then Janet B., Lee H., Laurel B., Tony B., and Colleen B. Lisa, please give us the initial of your last name and... I know you're calling from Colorado, and please share with us.
Hi, this is Lisa Joe B., like Bravo in Denver, Colorado. Can I be heard?
You can.
Okay, great. So I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm gratefully recovering. Faith without works is dead. I'm starting to really get that a fellow told me, a fellow told me, paraphrasing, that I can't control my feelings. I think someone's not muted. I can't control my feelings. I can't control my thinking, but I can make myself take an action. And it's just that whole idea is being driven home for me. I've worked through the steps in the big book for a different fellowship, but I'm realizing that food is my first addiction, and it's been a beast. It has kicked my booty to the curb and back again all over town. The ninth step that I did toward my dad, it was the first ninth amend that I gave. I spent a lot of time really mulling it over and working with my sponsor and getting it down on an index card. And when I gave it to my dad, it was a very tumultuous relationship that I had with him. He was violent when I was growing up, and we butt heads a lot. I gave my amends. I realized through mulling it over that I had been blaming this man for everything wrong in my life as an adult since I turned 18. I took accountability for that. I told him I wasn't going to do it anymore. And I told him, I forgive you for everything you've ever done because I know you did the best you could. And that day, we became friends by God's grace and miracle, 7 years before he died of bone cancer. And forever, I am so grateful for this program and for the fourth, all the steps, but especially for the ninth step, because it made such an impact and a difference in my life. I was nervous. I was scared before I gave it. I was sweating. We sat on a park bench at Kettering Park in Littleton, Colorado. And my father, you know, when I said, when I zipped my lip at the very end and after I said, do you have anything to add? And he talked for an hour and confided in me. And it was such a monumental day in my life. And I'm forever grateful that I'm finally starting to surrender everything. I can't do this on my own. And I'm desperate. I'm on my knees. Thank you so much. And I love all of you. Thank you for being part of my program, My Recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa Jo B. from Colorado. And next up, we have Janet B. from North Carolina. Janet, you have the floor.
Hey, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. So I love that line. If we don't have the willingness, we ask until it comes. Well, so obviously, who do we ask? We ask God. That I don't have the willingness to clean up my past. I ask God, I pray, and he will give me the willingness. Well, how come he gives me the willingness to do this? But when I was praying, begging him to remove the food obsession, he didn't remove the food obsession. How come it doesn't say, you know, if we can't get out of the alcohol or can't get out of the food, we ask God to take the food obsession away, and he does? Well, it doesn't say that, but it says he gives us the willingness here. How come? How come he does here but not there? You know, and I think it's because of, I think one of the greatest lines in the book, either God is everything or else he is nothing. I mean, obviously, I don't think that means, oh, God is my pen, God is my cell phone. I think it means either we give God everything or it's as if we give him nothing. And when I give him everything, then he gives me exactly what I need to do his will, right? That's what we pray for in an 11th step, knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry it out. So when I gave God everything, God, take my food, take my health, take my kids, take my marriage, take all of it. Well, then he can come in and give me the power to do his will, the willingness to do his will. I mean, I had some super hard amends to make. I had faked a rape, faked a mugging. I had to go back to the hospital where I'd gone for a fake rape exam. And God gave me the willingness to do this because I had given him everything. I made a decision to just, and what does that mean to give God everything? I think it means that we make a decision to live life on God's terms, not mine. My terms were dishonest to get what I want. God's terms are honest, meaning we don't lie, we don't cheat on our spouses, we don't steal. We live lives of integrity. We live lives where we help other people. And when we do that, God gives us the power and the willingness to do whatever we need to do to live a life where we are happy, joyous, and free of the food obsession. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Janet B. from North Carolina. And next up, we have Lee H. Lee, can you tell us where you're calling from? And you have the floor.
Well, yes, ma'am, I can. I'm from Tennessee. This is Lee H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And so glad to be here this morning and talking about this paragraph. What jumped out at me is the number of times that it says we. I think I counted 12 times. So what it's telling me is that this is a we program, as I've heard several times on the line in this meeting, that we do this together. We have support. I mean, this is probably the most fearful of the steps. You know, it says down at the bottom, remember, it was agreed at the beginning that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And so I'm not doing this alone. I have fellows in the program, I have a sponsor, and most of all, I have a higher power that enables me to continue doing this work, because it is drastic, and we're repairing some damage done in the past. But we do this all together, and that's what just gave me so much, courage to step out and do this work. And, faith without works is dead. Well, it strengthened my faith as well when I stepped out and did this drastic work that is just so, it's so freeing. And I just, you know, it's one of these things that it was very, very scary at first. But as I continue to do the work, in a sense, it does get easier. It just becomes a part of who I am. And it is part of that great design for living that really works. And I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee H. from Tennessee. And next up we have Laurel B. Laurel, where are you calling from?
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Laurel B. from Wakanda, Illinois. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I just love these two steps. Says faith without works is dead, and I needed to take the actions, and that sentence reminds me that this is an action step. And it didn't mean it was an easy step, that I loved it was so easy. It wasn't easy, but once I got done, there was just a total sense of relief. And I didn't go on to step 10 until I got done with step 9, because that a very important step for me. I wrote out my amends and went over them with my sponsor, and that was very, very helpful. And then I made appointments to talk to the people so I didn't catch them off guard. And I remember calling my kids up and saying, you know, I'd like to talk to you and make an amends, and what time would be good for you? And so I set my appointments up to talk to them. And my amends weren't easy. But, you know, I had to admit to them that, yeah, I was suicidal, and I was sorry for that, that I did that, and some other amends. And then I asked them if there was anything that I missed and that they felt I needed to make amends for. And they couldn't come up with anything else, but I'm glad I asked them, because it made the relationship better. I just know that after my ninth step, my relationships got much better. There was a sense of relief and a forgiveness going on. Not that I had to be forgiven, but I was. And, I am kind of afraid person, but I went ahead and did it anyway, despite my fears. And for me, it was just such a growing step. And it signified that I was willing to go to any lengths for victory over food. So anyway, I'm so grateful for these steps. And I'm grateful for your service today. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura B. from Illinois. And next up, we're going to have Tony B. followed by Colleen M. But Tony, before you get on, let me just remind people where we are. We are on page 76 in the big book, the third paragraph. And so be thinking about how you want to join in the meeting and share on this topic. And with that, I will ask Tony B. from Scotland, UK, to share with us.
Thank you, Nancy. Morning, everyone. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. It's great to be on the line. It's great to be looking at this paragraph. So as soon as we've completed step 7 and we've said that prayer, now we need more action straight away. We need to move on into 8 and 9. And, you know, this list has been made when we took inventory. Not necessarily all those people on my inventory I will have harmed. So it takes a kind of going through with my sponsor and really looking into, was that, you know, what's the harm here? Was there a harm done? And yes, it's been a drastic self-appraisal, and I need to continue that process by clearing up the mess that I've made through all the years. So the first one is going to be the biggest, you know, and then it's going to be dealt with in tenths from then on, generally, unless there's something big and I need to go back and do a full fourth step, sharing it in 5th, 6th, 7th, you know, 8 and 9, again in that way if things have built up. But yeah, I remember my very first one, the best, and that was quite some time ago. And I didn't continue the work after, but it had a profound effect nevertheless. You know, that was my choice. I didn't kind of keep on with it in the way I needed to, but it really stood me on my own 2 feet. I'd always pointed the finger and blamed, and it was a real job at growing me up, this, to actually admit what my part was. And a lot of mine was just a lot of faulty dependence, over reliance on others, and so going to my family, going to my brother, who was always my kind of, would pick me up and try and get me back on track and patch me up, going to my mum, who I just always thought was the most terrible mum and did everything to me, and looking at how I'd affected her and all of them over the years, because it certainly does affect others when we're in our addiction, and other people too, and financial things. And it was just it was a really good clearing away, but it does need to continue. It's something I've to always be willing to go to any length, continue to be willing to go to any length. So I think that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share, and lots of love to you all for a beautiful day. Bye now.
Thank you, Tony B. And next up we have Colleen M., and then we're going to take another list of names of people who want to share on this topic. And we are on page 76, the third paragraph. Colleen, please share with us.
Hey, Nancy. Colleen M. from Maryland. Thank you for taking the meeting. I wanted to share just because I haven't shared in a while. And it's not really a paragraph that I wanted to talk about, but what stood out here, and I looked up self-will, stubbornly or willfully adhering to one's own desires or ideas. And, you know, that was certainly me for many, many years, especially when I was in my disease. And when I, you know, whenever I've gone through the steps and gotten, you know, he says we made this list of people we'd harmed, you know, I was always told, you know, there's a list of people you're definitely ready to make an amends to. There's a list that you might be ready. And then there's a list that you definitely never going to make an amends to. And my ex-husband was on that. I definitely was never going to make an amends to him. And because I didn't do anything wrong. It was all his fault. And I had many sponsors that agreed with me, but my higher power kept telling me that I needed to do this amends. And my biggest concern was not to cause more harm. So it took me about 25 years, I'm so sorry to say, that it took me a long time to do this. And I did this amends a couple years ago with him and his wife. And it was really not that I went into great detail, but and after I was done, I was like, why did I have to do that, God? But I can tell you that I don't know if it affected him or his wife. But I can tell you that it affected me, and I have this freedom that that I didn't even know that I needed. That I can look myself in the eye. You know, it says we created this. We attempt to sweep away the debris which we accumulated out of our efforts to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. And I certainly created a lot of debris in my life, and still can if I'm not careful. So, you know, I'm so grateful that, you know, I have my higher power. I have this program. I have other fellows that can help guide me. And then I can listen to God's still small voice. And when I've, you know, stepped out of line and I start living in self-will and I'm not willing to open myself up to new ideas and change my thinking, then I start, you know, stepping on other people and causing harm. And we have this way of, you know, making amends that, and most of my amends today is a living amends. You know, I just try to show up differently. As it was said in the opening share, you know, I start to try to become, you know, what I think God would have me be, how he would have me show up in my life. So,
a reminder.
Thank you. That's all I have. It's great to be part of this group, and thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you, Colleen M. from Maryland. And hey, guys, do you know what happens in 276 days, 11 hours, 28 minutes, and 29 seconds? Yep, it's the 25 Power of the Big Book weekend put on by A Vision for You. We talk about how great this meeting is and how it saved our lives. And now we have an opportunity to share a weekend of fellowship together. The weekend is November 7th from to the 9th, and registration is now open. If you go to the Vision for You website, that's www.avision4u.info. It will have the countdown clock there, and there'll be more information button underneath it. Click on that. It'll give you all the details, but it's in Newark, New Jersey at the Marriott Hotel. Going to be a lot of fellowship, a lot of great speeches and camaraderie, and it's something that you surely don't want to miss. So go to the registration, sign up early, and we look forward to seeing you there. And so now I'm ready to take a list of names for people who want to share on this paragraph. We're on page 76.
Harlan G.
Third paragraph. Okay, gotcha, Harlan. And just ask the people if they have spoken in the last 2 days on a vision meeting to step back so others can share. So I've got Harlan.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Ken.
Troy C.
And still take some more names. All right, we'll go with this next list. I've got Harlan G., Bonnie B., Ken W.H., and Troy C. Harlan, please share with us.
Thank you very much for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I don't know why, but I feel compelled to talk about step 10. We're not reading about step 10, but for me, it is very clear that we do not wait until we're done with step 9 to begin step 10, because it says in step 10 on page 84, it says we vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. And that means concurrently, not after. And there are references to 11 and 9, and there are references to 12 and 10. And we take these steps together. And for me, I had money amends. I didn't kiss anybody's wife. I didn't hold hands with anybody's girlfriend. I don't have those kind of amends in my past. But what I did was I wrote a lot of bad checks to get food. I lied to people about money, and I got them to quote unquote loan me money, which I knew I had no way of paying it back. Little did I know I'd have to pay it back eventually, but okay. But the bottom line is, as Joe and Charlie says, if you're smart enough to steal it, you're smart enough to pay it back. But it clearly says on page 84 that we vigorously commenced this way of living, step 10, as we cleaned up the past. Because if I didn't have step 10, I would not have had the guts. I would not have had the courage. What is courage? Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right thing right in the face of my fear to make amends to people for these checks that I wrote to get food and so on. And so I had to do what I had to do to hold God's hand. And I needed God to hold my hand because I had to go back to these people and admit what I had done, that I had lied to their face. I had to admit to them that I had lied and manipulated, and I had put them in my car and driven without insurance, and I had lied to them about different things to get their money. So I needed step 10 so that I could continue on with this work. And what I'm reminded of is something that it talks about on page 58, something I call step zero. And that is, if you want what we have and you're willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. What is it that we seem to have here? And I miss the point of what it is we have. What we have is not just a bunch of people that are not eating compulsively. They have that at Dunkin' Donuts. They have that at McDonald's right now. There are people there that are not eating compulsively. What we have, and I needed to pay attention to this, are compulsive overeaters who are not eating compulsively, and because of the actions that they take to bring them closer to God every day, they are not eating compulsively, and they are doing so happily. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for your service. Thanks for letting me share. Have a good one.
Thanks, Harlan G. from Arizona. Next, we have Bonnie B. from Florida, followed by Ken W.H. Bonnie, you have the floor.
Hey, good morning, friends. Thanks for your service, Nancy. Thanks for all the shares. Oh, I'm so grateful for the steps in this program. I'm so grateful for the fact that I had a sponsor who told me the things that were in that third column, which I had declared on day one. If you tell me I have to do anything with that column, I'm gone. She was kind enough to say no. No, put it down. If God drops it into your heart, put it down. Maybe it's someday. Maybe someday, but don't worry about it. And I will tell you, I so appreciate the most previous share because if I had been told I could not work the program until I did everything that was in that third column, I would not be in this program. I had a daughter that was violently assaulted, and she attempted suicide multiple times, and in that third column were many people. Now, I had harmed them also because I had gossiped and I had done all sorts of things that the God that I served had dropped into my heart. I knew that I owed amends to them for my part. It was 10 years to the month after Linnea Grace's assault that I sat with the pastors at this church and sat with the perpetrator's parents. God gave me a different set of glasses. Because of this program, He took off the glasses I had and He helped me to put myself into their spot. I couldn't have done it before that. I could not have done what was in that third column prior to the date that I did it. And it was only because of the healing that I found in this program. No one pressed me. Everything about this program for me comes down to stay connected to God. Because when He drops something into your heart, it's not going away. It's not going away. And until He drops it into your heart, it's really not inside my hula hoop. As He healed me, He allowed me to step outside. I am forever grateful. I don't know what I would have done if I would have carried that around. I just don't know how I would have survived because there was such hatred and such anger. And it's removed. It is 1,000% removed. I want nothing but the best for everyone surrounding this situation. Hurt people, sick people are sick. I live in a world that's broken. I'm not immune from it. But boy, I'll tell you, without these steps, I would have been in bondage and I would have been in lockdown my entire life because I would never have been able to see it through a different set of glasses. So I am forever, amazed at how the steps work and grateful beyond belief for each and every one of you and for the guidance to not press it, but to trust God for the right timing and then the willingness to do it when he lays it on my heart. Thanks so much for your service, everyone. And with that, I'll pass. Bonnie B. from Florida.
Thank you, Bonnie B. Appreciate you. And next up, we have Ken W. H. from followed by Troy C., and then we can take some more names. Ken, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Ken W. H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I read this paragraph, and it's almost as though step eight was already done before I got here. And for me to keep it simple is probably a good idea. The fact that it says I already have a list, and step eight is make a list of all persons. The other part is become willing to make amends. And frankly, by the time I got to step eight and nine, I just wanted to get it done. I didn't have to work real hard at being willing. I wanted to just run right out there and do it. It sure helped. It helped if I'd have taken a little advice from some other folk, but I went out and did it because I just needed to get it done. Sweeping away the debris of the past, you know, there was a lot of collateral damage in the way I behaved most of my life. Just with my language and everything else, or people I don't even know, but they certainly were in the line of fire and probably caught some of the flack. Some of the debris went over onto their side of the street, and they were just merrily walking down the street, not paying any attention. So when I sweep away the debris, i.e. clean up my side of the street, I need to make sure that I didn't sweep it all the way across to your side of the street. And I did in a lot of cases. And I need to go over there, too, and sweep some of that back up onto my side because it wasn't yours in the first place. I need to take care of that by changing behavior and being a different person. I don't have an amend to make to you directly, but I have an amend to make to the society I live in, so to speak, by being different, by cleaning up what's inside of me that creates debris and make less debris as best I can. With God's help and God's power, I can do that. So I'd try to keep it simple for step eight. The list is there. Just go to it. And I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thank you, Ken W.H. And next we'll have Troy C., and then we'll be able to take some more names. Troy, please tell us where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Troy C., recovering compulsive overeater from Florida. This is the part of the step work that I'm currently in. Making amends, and the really powerful process. I'm also at the same time becoming willing to make amends to some of the folks on my list that I haven't gotten to quite yet. So just yesterday, you know, I called a guy, we had been best friends. And as I got into the food and I got into other substances, you know, I pulled away. I bailed on his wedding the day before. I wasn't there for the birth of his kids, and I have avoided this man for 12 or 13 years, and I spent an hour on the phone with him yesterday. It was the first time I've heard his voice in over a decade, and, you know, admitting what I had done, and admitting what was going on in my head, and asking if there was a way that I could set it right, you know. That's a powerful experience. You know, I before that called a guy who absolutely hated my guts. He knew I was a liar, a manipulator, you know, and I drug his name through the mud saying he was wrong about all that, and calling him, you know, again, 15, 16 years ago. So, and many of these years I was sober in another program and not making amends. So this is a really powerful process. It is bringing me closer to God. There is no way I would be able to do these things without the belief that my higher power is going to provide for me and that I need to do these things to draw closer to it, that it is my only chance for survival. Because again, I have spent the majority of my adult life at this point avoiding these people because I did not want to admit what I had done and potentially face their wrath, you know, and I've been lucky enough to not face that yet. But I've had to become willing to face it, that this is a necessary thing that I must do to clean up the wreckage of my past and, you know, to, in whatever way I can, set things to right, to make up for the damage that I've done. And in the process, you know, I've had the side benefit of it being really beautiful, really healing, amazing to hear these people and learn that they don't hate me, you know, and begin to drop beliefs about myself that I've held, you know, dishonest thoughts about myself and what other people think about me. So, yeah, very powerful. And really now, you know, the previous share mentioned, you know, that the importance of step eight, it's we write a list and then we become willing. And I can feel myself becoming willing. I'm going to have to go to my current employer that I've been with for a decade and tell them that I stole from them. And that may have really big ramifications, but I can feel the fear beginning to dissipate and the willingness grow. So this is an incredible process. I really encourage anybody who's currently in the step work to get through it and to not avoid amends for over a decade like I did. That's it. That's all I have to share. Thanks for your service.
Hey, thank you, Troy C. from Florida. And we can take another list of names. I think we can take three more shares that can get in yet in the meeting. So who would like to share?
Darian Milan P. from Germany.
I heard Darian and somebody from Germany. Who is from Germany?
Yep. Milan P.
Milan P.
Natalie.
Okay.
Natalie S.
All right. So I got
Sharon
these
B.
three people. Sharon, I don't know if we'll have time. I've got Darian K., Lillian, Natalie, and then if we have time, Sharon. Darian, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Oh, good morning, Nancy. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, great. This is Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts, and I am so grateful to be on the line with all of you. It's such good shares. I know I'm having all these visuals of what people are saying. It's really awesome. It's like, I like when someone used that phrase to, you know, when it drops in your heart, you know, then it's time, right? And I was almost picturing like an animated movie and your heart starts to shine or glow and you know it's time. You know it's time for that particular amend. Because, you know, this is a lifetime process. And God willing, a day at a time, I will be doing this for a lifetime. And like Carolyn said, that's why step 9 and 10 really go hand in hand. I mean, they walk together, really, because, you know, we need to do this on a regular basis because we'll always be in contact with others. There'll always be a relationship in our lives. And it could be wonderful and going smooth, but then it also could be tumultuous and difficult or challenging at the least. And we need to, you know, we need to look at this stuff. This is what happens when you put the food down. And I never dreamed in my life that I would come into any kind of program for weight loss, quote unquote, and be willing to do this kind of work. It's just, it still blows my mind after 37, 38 years. But it's such a gift, right? Because I feel like, you know, the weight I had on my body, yes, it was there, but the weight I had between my two ears in my head with all the stuff that I, you know, needed to do, all the work that I needed to do really was a very heavy weight. You know, I'm just so grateful that, that I had the willingness, the courage. It does take courage. But it is, you just feel so good about doing it. And, you know, I've done many of them. I've done living amends. I've done ones to my dad's grave because he died in 1982 when I was only 19. I've done ones for friends that I maybe haven't kept in touch with enough and sent them flowers. Ex-husband. I mean, just so many. You know, it's just a process. It's a process for a lifetime. And the funny thing is, there's one person in my life that sort of is standing with his hands on his hips waiting for an amends. And that's the person I feel like doesn't deserve the ninth
mental
step.
Mental reminder?
Yep, they deserve the 10th step, right? They deserve the daily amends because it's someone I live with daily. So, you know, it's interesting, very interesting, but so good and so healing. So thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Darian K. Next up, we have Lillian P. from Germany. Lillian, you have the floor.
Thanks. Will you time me? This is Lilan, Lilan, L-I-L-A-N-P in Berlin, Germany, recovering compulsive overeater. I just want to thank everyone for their beautiful shares. My mother died on Thursday, and I'm sorry. and I feel grateful for so much right now. I had a really fraught relationship with her most of my life, even though I did my first amends to her 20 years ago. But these past 6 years, as she has been deteriorating and into muscular paralysis, have just been one long living amends. I just felt my heart soften to her, and I had spent my life blaming her for everything and focusing only on everything that she did wrong. And and I also would have very limited contact, but we developed a pattern where I live far away and I have my own illnesses and am housebound, and there was no way for me to travel and be there with her, support my father, but we would do these weekly FaceTimes, and I just pulled out all the memories I had, the good memories, and I just told her over and over, especially as she lost the ability to speak, I just told her, do you remember when you cooked this, and remember this costume you sewed? And I wanted her to hear and to be able to replay in her mind all that she had done so beautifully, and all the ways that she had loved us, and the ways that I had never thanked her for, and always taken for granted, and always pushed aside because of my resentments. I had also found something she had written that I had just completely ignored, and then I got to read that aloud to her, and I was so fortunate because they FaceTimed me just 45 minutes before she died, and so I got to be in the room on the iPad with my father and brother with my limits. It was the most I could possibly hope for, and I immediately just said to her, you are loved, you are safe, you are precious, you are, and we're all here. And I actually don't even remember what I said to her. Thanks, and the fact that I don't remember me, that it was God speaking through me. So thank you. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, your loss. And our last share today will be Natalie. Natalie, if you can give us the initial of your last name and the state you're calling from, please take us out. Was there a Natalie? Hey,
there
Sharon.
Go.
There we go.
Oh,
okay, thanks, Natalie. 2 minutes.
Okay, sorry about that. All right, I'll make it quick. I'm Natalie S. from Indiana, and so I was focused on the line, faith without works is dead, and the fact that the word works is plural, not singular, and it was reminding me, or I think, you know, my God was reminding me that it's multiple types of work. It's the work I do interiorly that I ask for his help on. It's the work I do to be different in the world. It's the work I do specifically in seeing my part in things and trying to see with those new glasses. And I think the image that I was given was of a pack mule and how I'm walking along this path with my higher power, and I've got a weight load on my back and my head is looking down. And gently over time, he says, you want me to carry that? you know, you'd be a little lighter. And that lifts the burden off, and he takes that away, and he helps me to lift my head. So not only do I see him, I can see other people and really be of service to them. And for me, it's not, it is a minute-by-minute process, let me just tell you, because I can so easily get back into my head down, focus on my belly button, as a friend calls it, navel gazing, and worried about how you did wrong to me and how you're not acting and behaving like I am. And God's really showing me my part in that these days. And my prayer is that I can grow in the acceptance and tolerance and love of others so that I can actually do the work that he designed me to do. So that's what I had. And with that, I will pass.
Hey, perfect timing, Natalie. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who shared today, everyone who participated in the meeting, and to Team Tuesday for the month of February. So please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for this meeting, Tuesday, February 5th, 7 a.m. meeting, is 22,134. That's 22134. And we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jane S. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning. My name is Jane S., and I'm from New Hampshire. Thank you for everyone's service and a great meeting. I'm a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.